Hey there, dudes and dudettes. Time to wax up your boards and go catch the big wave over at the LPN Beach Blanket Bingo. One night only at the Balboa Theater in San Diego, October 20th. Come and check out all of the cool cats and the crazy dogs at LPN. Every show in the entire network, each one pulsating and grinding in front of you for your entertainment pleasure. We're all gonna catch the big kahuna. And I'm talking about that big greasy guy. I'm talking about a wave.
Ew, it's seaweed. It's seaweed.
Just so you know, it's gonna be inside of a theater. So any physical wetness you experience is your own personal body heat or the sweat of one of the performers. Come and check it out. I'm certain if there's a podcast flavor you need on your tongue, we got the spoon for it. Beach Blanket Bingo, baby. Come on, girls, let's dance!
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Right from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Let's start it off with a round of applause for ourselves, the amount of work we put in.
There you go. That's a one person applauding. Two
it's
people
really just
applauding.
Celebrate ourselves. Let's start the episode by celebrating ourselves.
You want to celebrate yourself?
Hey, Kissel, how do you celebrate yourself?
I take myself out on friendly dates.
Yep.
Pull on my old hogtail at the end of the night.
Masturbate?
And no, I have a full pig at home.
funny stuff. Yeah. Good funny stuff.
Yeah. His name is Oinker. His name is Herbert. No.
Your lies are transparent.
What would be Ernest the Oink? Ernest the pig?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Ernest. Yeah, whatever.
It's a for fake pig name. It's great.
Yeah.
How do you take care of yourself, Marcus?
Well, I like to curl up with a good book.
Yeah.
And I have a little nook.
That's cheating. That's cheating. He's cheating on his wife, folks.
I have a little moon pod.
Oh, yeah.
And I found myself a nice little hidey hole where I stuff the moon pod into it. And then I stuff myself in the moon pod.
You love that moon pod.
And I put my headphones on and I just curl up and I just stare at one single light on the ceiling. And I just listen to records.
Well, that's scary. I thought you said treat myself. I thought you said you curled up in a good book.
He did. That's
one of the ways.
But then
you just stare at the ceiling. How about you, Henry? Whatever you're doing, it's failing fucking miserably.
You know what I've been doing? Honestly?
Chewing tobacco?
I like to drink. And I also like to sit out in the backyard with the dogs.
That's nice.
Wow. I sit with the dogs.
Wow.
That's real nice.
Because they get it.
There you go. Nice.
They get me.
I've also been eating a lot of lime popsicles.
Mm.
Like three a night.
Yeah. I've been eating a lot of eggs.
Wow.
I've been eating a lot of eggs.
Mm. Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everyone. Eggy Henry Zabrowski. Real Edith Massey over here. And then we got Marcus Parks.
I would say I'm the lime pit.
Yes. And then I'm Ben.
This episode's called, it's called The Wheels Are Falling Off As We Get to the Finish Line Before Vacation.
Well, there you go. It's important. It's important to have those wheels fall off right at the proper time.
Right at the proper time.
Proper time. So, Marcus, you got some stories for us.
I do.
Yeah, because this is a relaxed fit.
It's relaxed.
We're doing true crime roundup.
Oh, you know what I've actually been doing? I sent you this text message yesterday.
Yeah.
High on Life.
Okay, what is this?
This video game, High on Life,
uh-huh.
Fucking amazing.
What is it?
It's, you got a gun, right? And the gun talks to you the whole time, and it's really funny. It's an alien, and you're abducted, and your whole house has gone to an alien planet, and you've got to fight a bunch of blorbs and orbs and aliens and shit.
It sounds nice.
It's called High on Life. It's really funny.
Yeah.
Well, we're letting you know, because we had a series plan. Schedule change happened against our will.
They don't need to know any of that.
It's good for them to see. I like a little transparency. They could see because we're doing a lot of work for the fall. We're really excited because we got a bunch of crazy series about to do. But that's why this is called the little tiny brain break
as we are preparing for the new fall season.
We're still working, buddy.
Also, we're taking a fucking vacation because we deserve to take a vacation. Because you know what? All these motherfuckers out here.
Workers'
rights need to be treated right. And then it's all of a sudden it's like, where's my fucking podcast? Why aren't you putting out 52 shows a fucking year?
But
guess what? We fucking
good.
Do. But you know what? We don't have to fucking work 52 weeks a fucking year. Because we're humans too.
Well,
we're
what's so funny is that there's another Marcus Jordan in the news.
Is this the guy who can shoot a gun with his feet? Because there's a Mark. There's a Marcus,
I remember that guy. That's a round table.
Marcus Jordan is Michael Jordan's son.
Yes.
His name is Marcus Jordan. And you remember the feud between Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan?
I do.
Well, the feud has gone it's more family now than ever before. Larsa Pippen, Scottie's ex-wife, she's fucking marrying Marcus Jordan.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Wait,
Michael Jordan's son is
marrying Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts?
Wow.
So it's like they didn't like each other.
What's the age difference here? Is like, did Scottie Pippen marry a much younger woman? Because I know Marcus Jordan is my age.
No, he's actually much younger.
Is he?
He's 32.
Oh.
He's a baby.
He is
and
a baby.
Larsa, what a hell of a name there. Larsa. Hey, Larsa, get over here. Give me warm butter. She's 49.
Wow.
That's sexy.
So it's 17 years age difference. Marcus says, we're looking for a location for the wedding.
She won't be in
Chicago.
She's got quite the butt on it.
She was also, she was on the Real Housewives of Miami.
Whoa.
And she was the housewife to Scottie Pippen. So if you're Scottie Pippen, I mean, my God, he's got to be fuming.
Fuming. That was the word I was going to use. Fuming.
Actually, I wonder if Scottie Pippen is finally like, yeah, you can fucking have her.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you take her. Could what do be. I give a shit? Yeah, you take her. Oh, you want to be? Oh, all right. I guess Michael's got to deal with another one of my things.
It seemed contentious. I think that Scotty really did love her. And then Marcus Jordan was like, my dad's Michael Jordan. And let's go have sex with each other. And I think she was cheating on him the whole time.
With Marcus Jordan.
With a whole series of people.
Oh. She's a beautiful woman, though.
Oh, absolutely. She's got a butt and boobs and everything. So anyway. So, you're doing better today than Scottie Pippen.
That's interesting. I do like that.
I guess.
I mean, you know, I do feel like it's a relief to have an ex-wife off your hands.
Well, he's 57. He finalized the divorce. They call him No Tippin' Pippin'. So that's why everyone says they don't really like him.
Oh, yeah.
So no, that's why Michael was more charming. Even though Michael's technically kind of mean, more charming than Scottie. That's what they say.
Far more. Yeah. Well, Scottie Pippen's a bit dead-eyed.
I don't know either one of them. So I can't say.
Well, all right. So
they
anyway, that was my.
They won't let me know them. Let me know them.
But isn't that just interesting? They're kind of keeping it within the Bulls there.
They really are.
Keeping it within that championship team. It's good DNS championship genetics.
That's right.
That's great.
All right. That's my little story.
Well, our first true crime story today does not come from the criminals.
That was a crime of love, what I just said.
Technically, it's page 7 mixed with a sports podcast that we have yet to fully develop because every time they do it, they don't seem to take off.
No. Our audience says, we don't like to sweat. Now I'm doing it. We love everybody.
Comes not from the criminals. But from the police.
Oh.
And more specifically, the Canadian police.
Oh, yeah, the Mounties.
A licensed, fully stocked bar inside a lounge for senior officers at the Toronto Police Service's headquarters is being closed.
What?
The decision comes after CBC Toronto reported an officer entered the lounge hours before being charged with impaired driving.
Wow. Mm. That's where my daddy went.
The police bar within the police station?
Well, it was more informal.
Yeah, is this citizens on patrol? Is this actually police academy? They had a bar inside of their police unit?
That's very Canadian, but in the best way.
This is where Canada and Wisconsin merge.
Yes. Yeah.
The Chief's Office and Executive Officers Lounge Committee.
The committee. I'm working on the lounge committee. Can I get $10?
They always definitely make sure to jump on the home bar committee versus going deep into too many homicide investigations.
Yeah, I've worked extensively 30 years on the police lounge committee. I got us that sofa you're sitting on.
They notified senior officers in May that the bar's liquor license would not be renewed.
They're the police. Renew it.
No. I actually don't know why would it need a liquor license. It's an official bar.
Well, that's not a police issue. That's a city issue. It's a municipal issue.
It's a municipal issue. But they really legitimately had a full-on actual licensed bar. Because that's the thing. What I'm saying is more on the side. No, right? Like it's an unofficial bar.
That's dad drinking gin in the bathroom.
It's called a pop-up.
It's a pop-up.
It's a craft pop-up. But so this is like, they knew.
They knew, yeah.
So everybody knew they had a bar there.
It was only for senior officers.
It seems like this one fucking jackass ruined the whole goddamn thing.
The only thing
you got to do is not get too hammered and get a DUI.
You save it for after work, not before work.
Well, mm-hmm. I think he was just, man, it's always somebody that ruins it. That's what I've been talking about with these goddamn airplanes. Y'all better behave, because I need my Bloody Mary on an airplane.
I know, mm-hmm. I know.
And people are drinking too much on the airplane.
Perhaps.
The Executive Officer's Lounge was first issued a liquor license at the 40 College Street headquarters in 1989.
Wow.
So this has been going for a very, very long time. And all it took was one asshole to bring it all down. His name is Riaz Hussein.
Pop quiz hotshot. How many years has that bar been around? Hey, pop quiz hotshot.
A million years?
No.
So is that guy going to...
You an answer?
34.
There you go.
Well,
do you know I'm right?
No.
Are we going to get a bunch of emails?
89, 99, 2009.
I ain't doing math.
89,
tonight.
99, that's 10. 99 to 2000 to 09, that's 10. That's 20.
You're doing Common Core.
19, yeah.
That's literally Common Core. No math, no science today. Nothing from me. I have no opinion regarding any of it.
Well,
yeah, no science. Now, what's this Bunsen burner doing in your asshole?
That's different. I did it to myself with my diet.
Well, it seems like they may have found a loophole, though.
Oh, good.
Moving forward, the service will apply for a special occasions permit from the AGCO should we decide to host an event where alcohol may be served. So it might be that every day might be a special occasion.
So I don't understand. Really could be. Is it like a prom committee?
What do you mean
the special occasion?
The special occasion. So they get to keep the bar so they can still drink in the police station, but just for special occasions. Like, say, a retirement of a beloved officer.
Oh, yeah, if you kill a big guy.
Yeah,
sure,
if you kill a big guy. Yeah, if you kill, like, Vinny Tutos, you get the drink.
You kill Vinny Tutos, you got that open for a whole weekend.
Do you think
that's nice?
But in Canada... They go, right? Because they're not even harsh on their criminals.
No, they are. They've gotten worse.
They've gotten into more intense. They're more like us.
I think they're definitely getting worse. It's not that they're not harsh on their criminals. It's that they're not super motivated to catch their criminals.
Hey, man, they work to live. They don't live to work.
They oftentimes just celebrate big numbers. They'll be like, oh, that was the 100th murder this year. That's a special occasion.
It's actually a special occasion. We're under a lot of pressure. Let's have a drink.
Yeah, this guy fucked up pretty bad. In April, a CBC Toronto investigation reported, I don't know what SUPT is. S-U-P-T, that's instead of sergeant, superintendent.
Superintendent
Riaz Hussein entered the lounge about 3 hours before he crashed his service-issued SUV into another vehicle in Pickering, Ontario.
Pickering, huh? Well, that changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. If you're not pickled driving through Pickering, what are you doing?
I think technically you should be sleeping.
Absolutely.
If you're pickled in Pickering, you should be at a hotel.
I actually have a pickle store in Pickering. It's Pickles Pickering. I pickle in Pickering.
Does it help?
A series of different pickles.
Think about your pickle store. Does it help?
Yeah, and is
the concept help?
It would help.
And is it truly a story? In the sense that it has a beginning, middle, and end.
I opened my pickle store this morning.
Oh, now we're getting along.
Lunch.
We can't. This ain't Rogan.
Yeah. Yep.
We can't sit in here.
Well,
and
it's Canada, so you got to build your sandwich one store at a time. You got this bread store.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You got the cheese store.
Yeah. Right. Your meat house.
Ham store. Roast beef store. Yeah, turkey store.
Mustard store.
Mustard store. Then you come to the pickle store. That's where I come in.
That's called socialism.
Yes. And then we close around 2 p.m.
Well, Hussein, who headed the police services disciplinary tribunal.
Oh, so he's internal affairs.
He's internal affairs. He pleaded guilty in October to driving with a blood alcohol level over 80 milligrams per 100 milliliters
of
blood.
Get the fuck. I have no idea what that means.
I do feel like it's not good.
It's not good. He was sentenced to 1 year driving prohibition and fined $1,560.
Well, hey.
I don't know why everyone else is suffering because this guy's a jackass.
It's because, again, it takes one. It's a very, very tremulous line.
That's Canadians for you.
That's
Come
what you
on,
gotta
you're,
do.
This guy
you
fucked up. He should have the punishment. Why am I suffering?
That's how it is. You remember in Sydney when that one guy, like that,
Oh, yeah, that's where the bars have to close early.
Politician's son got punched in the head at night, and then they shut down all the bars for forever. It's just how it is.
Also, can you imagine how annoying that politician's son is? Can you imagine just meeting Barron Trump one day? No. Well, he's my height.
Guess what? If you're meeting Barron Trump, you're about to be dead.
Oh,
you're
possible.
Not supposed to meet him. You're not.
No, you're not.
He's like Slenderman.
Yeah, you've been dropped onto his island.
I want to be nowhere near, because you know the last thing you see is Barron Trump.
The pillow comes
down. You know what I mean? I don't want this.
A pair of white underwear.
Live from your grave.
Well, John Sewell, coordinator of the Toronto Police Accountability Coalition, an advocacy group that's dedicated to making police more accountable to the public, he said it's about time police closed down the bar. He says it's crazy that they ever had it.
I mean, this is kind of the central point of the story.
I mean, it's not that I kind of like that they had this bar. Was it open to the public at all?
No, it was only for senior officers.
You know, it's one of those things. Well, again, it sounds in my mind close to a privilege that you get from being a senior in your work, but along the lines of being a privilege, not a right, that you need to be careful with the privilege and you need to treat it with a certain amount of respect, and you don't fuck with the line, because if you do, this already very tremulous line is going to disappear. Because again,
there's
the entire country, I'm really surprised there's not more people asking, being like, what? They had what? Where it's like, no.
It's a bar.
We're supposed to keep this under the radar.
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous they shut the bar down. One person made a stupid mistake.
You would.
He should be punished.
You were literally, I think they named you an assistant manager at Big Wings just for your occupancy.
Big Wings, just actually, for the time it closed down.
I know.
That was the one where I spoke with the cockroach on the bar next to me, on the seat next to me. I was like, hi, cockroach. He was like, hi, come here a lot. He's like, can I just have a thimble of Coors Light? I would be livid, though.
Of course.
If I was in this police precinct, I'd be like...
They should all be mad at this guy.
Well, yeah, they should be mad at everybody now because they shut down the goddamn bar.
They should be mad at that guy.
My question is, do you want these people drinking at your bar?
Well,
I don't want to drink with senior officers because...
They're bummers.
As we know, cops, every joke, you're the punchline.
Yeah,
and after
they get
drunk, they're going to turn into cops
again. I remember.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to follow you to the bathroom and poke your asshole.
Where Ed worked, which would turn into a cop bar at night. It became a fairly unpleasant place to go. Just got intense.
Yes.
And you just didn't want to be there. It was for the cops. The cops needed to be separated from everybody else because they blow off steam in a way that is different than the way we blow off
steam. Mail carriers and cops, those two.
I love our mail carriers.
I love them.
They need their places to go blow off
steam. I love our mail carriers, but there was a mail carrier at Village Poorhouse who used to regularly get so drunk he would urinate himself at the bar.
Efficiency.
Yes. I also saw him once when I was there. Technically, when I was also working, but he had a bag full of mail, and I didn't see him deliver any of it.
Do you want this mail? Do you want this mail delivered well, or do you want it delivered drunk?
Yeah.
No. Again, they need a place to. But I know what you're saying. It's like yes. So are people reacting like literally like, oh, we're going to take away their cop bar? Like, oh, we're going to do this because
what
are
they
going to
do now? The cops are going to be in your bar.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's what the advocacy guy said. He said there's plenty of bars around police headquarters
that
they could go to, and that's the thing is that
then one of those bars will eventually become a cop bar.
Yes,
and eventually will become only be the only place where they go.
But that's senior officers, though. That means that the rank and file, your patrolmen, your sergeants, they're not going to this bar. They've already been going to the bars around. There's already been
so
plenty
now,
of cop bars
So let's
around.
Just say there was a cool cop, but he works the beat. He lets you know some insight. Now his boss is next to him, and he can't fucking tell you all the company secrets.
That's how it is.
That's the only good thing you get is like, so tell me about the Gilgo Beach killer. Really, what do you think?
No,
I love that. And then they can tell you some cool, because there was one on right by the 7 train in Long Island City.
Mm-hmm.
That was also a cop bar. You recall that place?
Yep.
And you'll overhear some cool stories.
Oh, yeah. And it's also how people like Edmund Kemper go and they get their own information about their own cases.
So you guys think the killer's tall or skinny
there's something about that
short,
where it's like, it's almost kind of better for cops to have their own place to drink so that they can talk freely about these things and not have to worry about like a Brian Koberger being there going like, yes, fascinating. So who knows? I don't know.
No, who knows?
All right.
That's a hardcore issue. I actually really wonder.
It's a toss-up if I want my cops drunk or sober. I think the worst is a hungover cop.
Yeah.
They're just not, they're A grumpy. To B, they're grumpy.
Jumpy.
Jumpy.
Like, I know I'm very yes. jittery anxious. And anxious when I'm hungover.
I think if you get pulled over by a drunk cop, it's kind of a net neutral, and then I'll give you a ticket. Okay, thank you.
I mean, you know, I prefer
or they beat the living fuck out of you. I also, it could go that way too.
Depends on which cop you get.
I would definitely prefer them to be fully intoxicated, but not where they're working. But, you know, I feel like they could have a place to go.
Sure. They could have a place to go.
That's official.
Well, maybe they could maybe get a little therapy also.
I mean, they should have mandatory therapy. But we saw what happens if you looked at, the Scorsese movie, my favorite, The Departed.
Ah, yeah.
That's hard. That's the problem is when you put cops through therapies and then it's all like stuff like that. Being like, want me? You want me to tell you how I feel? You know, like it's really intense. It's hard to get in there.
That's the movie where he says, Jack Nicholson says, she felt funny.
Yeah. The improv. Brilliant.
I know. I saw that same Instagram clip.
Is that the one where he said, "You make me want to be a better man"?
You make me want.
Was that movie?
That's Anything Can Give.
About Schmidt.
About Schmidt is the
Although I will say The Departed, well, it's been out for a long time, but it just kind of ends in a, you're like, whoa.
It's my favorite. It's one of his most rewatchable movies.
It is. It's a very rewatchable movie.
It's a little confused.
Up there with Goodfellas, as far as rewatchability. Yeah.
Which, of course, has his mother in it.
It does. Mm. I also I was reading into very quickly over the Melbourne mushroom murders.
Right.
It's funny because there's something about, look at this lady, Erin Patterson.
Okay.
48 years. She's crying. You see this picture here? She's going.
Yeah, that is. You know, you make that noise a lot, and I can match that. That's not what I'm going to picture.
Oh yeah, I see it there. Yeah, real.
It is a legend right now that Erin Patterson, 48 of a guy, you know, Leon Gotha, God knows how that's pronounced, killing three people and critically wounding a Baptist pastor. Using these things called death cap mushrooms.
Ooh.
So it's a highly toxic fungus. Now she's saying, I bought these at the grocery store.
Yeah,
right?
She's
trying to say when they're like, well, we're looking at all the other mushrooms we have at the grocery store, and we don't see any other death cap mushrooms inside of it.
Oh, you didn't see that at the Gelson's? They were selling them. It was $5 a pound, death cap mushrooms.
It's good because you could look at this. This death cap mushroom, if you look at it.
Oh, yeah, I got
it. If you
up.
Think that that's a white capped mushroom, then you should not be eating it because it looks like it's rotting on the outside. It's got like dark, weird circles all over it. It looks poisonous.
It looks foreboding, yeah.
And so she made for her family, her beloved family, which she said her most precious family, her most favorite people in the world she would never do this to.
It was one of her favorite families.
It was her ex-husband's parents and their local pastor and the ex-husband.
Why were they all together?
It's one of those.
What a nightmare.
I always question people that are really close with their exes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, super. Unless you got kids involved. They have kids. Sure. So I understand why you'd be involved with your ex's
life. Also, sometimes people break up for different reasons. They still like each other, but just not in love anymore.
But yeah, it's just
I actually stayed close friends with an ex for about 2 years.
I would like to stay closer, but then it turns out that you end up dating other people, and then that person gets upset, and then you have to. It just is what it is.
But
it
is
what
it
is. I have no hatred.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy, but she got her sister, right? This is Gail's sister. So she got her ex-husband's mother, sister, sick. She's sick. Her actual husband, Ian Wilkinson, is sick. And then the pastor, who was from the Corumbara, was also struck down. She put it into a beef Wellington. And now we know, like, she's... It is... I love this.
Oh, don't ruin a beef welly.
They died hard. Now, the ex-husband's also coming out saying, you know, I ate a thing that my ex-wife cooked, and I was hospitalized for 16 days.
Wow.
At the time, we see this often. I don't know if you saw anything about the Mormon woman that killed her husband. Poisoned him. Now, she's alleged that she poisoned him, but she's then wrote a book after about how to cope
that's very
with mourning,
thin, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like how to like mourn a dead husband, and she made a bunch of money off the book, and then it turns out she did a highly coordinated effort to murder him.
Wow.
And then he kept telling all of his friends, my wife's gonna fucking kill me.
Right.
I keep eating food that's making me sick. But because he was a Mormon, he was deathly afraid to get a divorce.
Oh.
He didn't want to get out.
Yeah.
But you see this. We've been talking a lot about how women don't do homicides as often, and they normally cover up their
well,
tracks.
Well, I got a story for you.
These women are getting sloppy.
Yeah,
I got a fucking story for you.
They're getting sloppy.
You see this story? This Ohio teen, 19 years fucking old. She drove her goddamn car 100 miles an hour into a wall, killing her ex-boyfriend and his friend. And she survived. She's been charged. She's going to prison for life.
Well, I'm glad. It's different. But it's not similar
different.
In terms
she
of
was
people
crying.
Died.
She was crying in court. She She drove her car 100 miles into a wall, and then both of the people in the car were there. This was not reckless driving. The judge says it was murder. And do you know what county the judge was coming from? Cuyahoga.
Well, I feel like we can come back to this because there's a lot into left of my story because this is an entire thing that doesn't really connect.
He got it out of a system, though.
I'm glad he did.
Yeah, he got it out of a system.
I'm glad that he did.
You don't fuck with the Cuyahoga court system.
I think that's how that is. But she says she refuses to tell the investigators how she remotely got in touch with the death cat mushrooms. So she doesn't know how she got them. And
she doesn't know.
No, that's what she's saying. And she also then went ahead and threw away the food dehydrator that she used to make the beef Wellington. But still at the same time, I would never kill my family.
I don't believe you, though. But
she went through shit.
Man, I'll never forget when we got that food dehydrator growing up. I don't know why it was the 90s trend. Big ass machine. But you got yourself some banana chips, totally solid. You could make some potato chips in there. This is before the air fryer.
Jackie was on a food dehydrator.
Why did they go out of style?
I that was one of my weird quarantine purchases.
You got one?
Yeah, I got one. And I used it a few times and then I stopped.
It takes the moisture out of the food.
What did you use it for?
Apples.
Yeah, apple slices, very solid. I mean, also you're not tethered to a jungle gym with a hat on. You know, you don't need. I also don't think you need to just have like no, just my apple slices.
You can have fully fleshed moisturized apples.
You can have wet apples.
It was New York City quarantine. I needed something to fill the days. I had to fill the days.
But in case if you were wondering, apparently the three dead relatives were selfless people who spread positivity at every chance. Now, I do think it would be nice every once in a while to hear, well, you know, old Gail, she was a bitch. But they never do that. They never do that.
Well, sometimes they do. But I mean, even when my grandmother died, the woman that was giving the sermon, Lillian, all she did was spread love and joy and just a bunch of other fucking lies. Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting there looking at my whole family like, what is this? Are we talking about the same goddamn Lillian that I had as a grandmother?
Exactly.
But that's what happens when you die. You are allowed one paragraph of total bullshit about how great you are as a person.
That's what you earn.
You've earned
that by being alive. Now, Aaron says again, according to Gail, there was like, so the Gail, her ex-husband's mother, Gail was like the mom I didn't have because my mom passed away 4 years ago. And Gail had never been anything but good and kind to me. Ian and Heather were some of the best people I'd ever met. They never did anything wrong to me. I'm so devastated about what's happened to the loss of the community and to the families and to my own children. They lost their own grandmother, which I also find interesting because she made the beef Wellington for the entire family, but she made herself and her two kids something else entirely. Because according to Erin Patterson, she said it was because I didn't feel like beef welly.
Whoa, really?
She didn't feel like it at the time. And it's an enormously complicated, it takes a long time to make a beef welly.
Happened to be full of poison.
Yeah, she killed an entire fucking family, dog.
Well, this whole thing has made her extremely stressed.
What?
Also, this woman's mom just died 4 years ago. It wasn't the mom you never had. It seems like she had a mom for like most of the time.
I understand anything. Gail was like my mama for real.
Oh, Patterson claims that she bought the dried mushrooms at a grocer in Melbourne that was Asian.
These grocers were Asian.
There you go.
The cable guy.
They're going to get her eventually, but yeah, it's hard. It's the crying.
You guys are married. I have a toss-up question for you guys.
Sure.
Toss-up.
It's going to be involving marriage, okay?
All right.
It's coming from this is a sex and relationships question. My wife has a terminal illness. She wants to have sex with her ex one last time. So this is a man.
She's horny with cancer?
Yes.
A lot of people get horny with cancer.
Yeah, use it on me.
No. She is, okay. So he explained that his wife's, she needs to be in a wheelchair. She's going to need to be in a wheelchair for 4 or 5 months. And then she's going to be bedridden and she's going to decline really fast. But before that, she wants to bang her ex.
Nope.
And so he says,
you get fucking divorced. Guess what? You get to spend the end of your life fucking alone.
She only has 9 months to live.
You go let him fuck you as much as you want.
He says, my wife has a terminal disease. She's got 9 months. Of course, I'm destroyed. We've been together for a decade.
That's not long.
He says, I don't remember life without her, so I don't know what happened there. Maybe a brain issue. But he says, I've been doing my best to make the last days of her life good, and he wants to grant her wish. And then his wife said, I just want to fuck my ex-boyfriend.
Does hospice have a cuck, like, section? Is that a whole thing? I know.
Are we getting the full story here?
She said, he lamented. He said, recently she sat me down and told me that one of the last things she wanted to do was have sex with a previous partner of hers. I, of course, was shocked, and I asked, why the fuck does she want to do that? Basically, she thinks that her most physically compatible, satisfying lover was him.
You are out on the fucking street.
Wow.
You lose the health insurance. You lose everything. You're gone. Yeah. It is done. That's what you want to do?
Okay.
With the last 9 months shriveled life?
Hold on. He says she gave a whole monologue about how sex sometimes is just physical and how emotionally fulfilling sex is with me. But it was all bullshit at that point.
That's how you know she's full of shit. No, you see, the sex with you is emotionally fulfilling. Yeah. That's horseshit.
No, that's not horseshit.
Yeah, it is.
No.
No, it's called you don't make me come, but I look at you and I don't want to kill you after. That's sad.
Well, he does. He says, honestly, I'm so pissed. I'm betrayed. And
you're
I feel
out of
like,
the house.
And she
you
says,
can go down to your fucking, go do whatever you want.
And he says, I feel like I'm put in this position where I have to say yes. Because she's dying.
I'm secure enough. Go for it.
Unbelievable. Okay. So you know she's coming back into the home.
Yeah, she's like, she's good. She's going like she's dying.
You know what it is? We've taken care of each other. And now I'm taking care of you.
Yeah.
You're actively in a terminal state.
Nine months though, bro. You're in and out. Also, let's be honest. Also, well, you do have to remember, you have to call the ex up and be like, hey, you want to fuck my cancer-ridden wife?
Yeah, and he's probably
the chick
like,
you banged 10 years ago?
Ask that guy. Does he want to?
I mean, that's the thing. You've never asked. You have to ask that
guy.
Because what if he's married?
You know that guy somewhere, he's like, the whole world's blowing up about this story and stuff. And he's like, I don't want to fuck her. I'm fine. I don't want to do that.
And yes, indeed, the whole world is blowing up about it. It's on the sex and relationship portion of the New York Post.
Wow.
But this is, you might like this commenter.
Oh, all the way to Zendaya. Because she's been writing her column in the New York Post is incredible.
And Sidney Leathers. Mm. And what was it? Client number 9.
That's right.
Basically, if you fuck a politician, have them ruin their whole career, you get a post editorial position.
It's not too bad. It's $250 per article.
Well, you might like this comment. The first comment says, if her dying wish was to murder a child, would you grant that wish?
Yes,
fully equal. Those two things, absolutely equal.
And then he says, how about to go on a safari and hunt an endangered animal?
That's
fucking stupid.
That is absolutely not even close to the same thing.
I guess that's what it is.
I mean, if she wants to get railed, I'm fully comfortable with the fact, like, if I'm not the best lover my wife has ever had, that's totally fine. Like, I'm not insecure about that. If she wants to get, like, hard railed, she's going to come back to the house with a smile on her face the next 9 months. I mean, they're going
to
be hard.
I mean, she's going to die.
She can go to the homeless shelter with a smile on her face.
Or, like, I forget some of the porn stars that do all the real hard railing stuff, but you get her one of those guys over there.
I mean, I know my wife would never ask this. I know, we don't know until she's fully committed to me.
She has 9 months left to live.
Yeah,
you're throwing everything out.
But hey, you know, I'm going to be like, I'm secure with it. She's got 9 months. I want to make those 9 months happy.
Sex is in a monogamous relationship, sex is a long-term conversation, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to figure out what people like. People do change. And then people want things. They want to change. They want to do stuff. That's kind of on the healthy of you being within the relationship and figuring out these things for each other. Because this idea that there's a part of me that would actually
When they change and want to go fuck the ex-boyfriend.
But that's when they leave. But I look at somebody being like, you have many, how do we say like, listen, you saying that I have not been sexually gratifying you all of these years.
No.
Now I just found this out.
That's not what she said.
Emotionally fulfilling is garbage. You were telling me that this is real. If you're telling me,
I'm saying that
because she loves the man and she's putting up with the sex. Right?
No, she's putting up with the sex. The other guy just railed better.
Don't think that this hasn't been a thought in the back of her head the entire decade that they have been together, where you could have communicated this at some point that you needed more sexually, and I could have given.
So, Henry, this is now, from an outside perspective, all I do is see you at a Shakey's yelling at your cancer-ridden wife. And so I'm just like, why is this guy yelling at his cancer-ridden wife?
Why is
and
this
she's
guy?
Just like... I just want to fuck Tom one more time.
You didn't think for all these years to tell me that I wasn't fucking you as good as I could have been
Jesus
fucking
buddy,
you?
Jesus, take it easy. That's your wife.
It's because I've just spent the last couple months helping you shit in the bed.
Well,
that's the difference.
That is true.
That's the difference. It's not fine. That if this was just a normal truly.
Okay, hear me out. What if it's not an ex? What if she's just like, I want the biggest ding dong I've ever seen, random stud. Just order a stud.com.
Actually, I'd rather that.
Actually, yes. I think I do. I got a compromise for you,
that's
Henry.
That's fine with me.
That's you, okay.
Yes, no. We're bringing in a third
bring in a
party.
Random, just a dick
yes.
with a happens to have a face.
That's fine for yes. me.
I got a compromise for you that I think you're going to like. Let me sell you on this. You go to the guy. You
it's
tell
not
the guy.
You don't go to the ex. You cannot.
No, fuck
no,
this
oh,
guy.
You can't
no.
do that.
No, no, you do go to the ex.
Oh, my.
You have to go to the ex.
Wow.
What you do is you get a plaster done of her ex's penis.
I love this.
Again,
you make,
the ex has to
you
consent
make,
to all this.
I love
you
all
make,
this.
You make a silicone dildo out of the ex's penis.
Attaches to a
and you
machine.
Turn it into a strap-on. You turn it into a strap-on,
yeah,
and then you have sex with her ex-boyfriend's penis.
Well, do you have
I guess
the
that
same
is
finance?
Acting. That
you,
is acting, so that's fine.
Do you have the same finance job as him? Do you know how to swiggle your hips like him? Do you know how to purse
no.
your lip? Because women are always like, and then I looked at his third freckle on his eighth cheek, and I knew he was the one.
It's the
they're
ex.
Always like,
well, that's emotional.
The key is it's the ex part. I do think, yes, if you wanted to get
random
out,
gigolo.
I think a random gigolo for me makes more sense than this, obviously, because it speaks to, oh, you've been comparing us, our lovemaking with this other phantom man that I did not know this
Everyone
entire
does that.
Time. No, they don't. Not all the time.
Yeah, not all the time, but.
But this idea that now you're at the very last, you should be sitting here thinking about how to, like, you're transitioning to the next life. And then you're just being like, God, I wish I could fuck Steve again.
You know,
the only thing you're thinking.
The one thing that I will say that makes me feel like we've talked to people. You're never dying. You're living and
until
you're
dead. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
And so
I do
she's
agree.
Just like, I got 9 months.
Yeah.
Fuck it all.
But that's why.
And so it's kind of, you know, if it was the, it's about Schmidt, Jack Nicholson, about Schmidt.
Yeah, yeah. I understand.
Remember that? It was his final bucket list shit.
Oh,
so
yes.
I think, okay. So
no,
I'm
that's,
saying,
the, movie, no, that's the movie, list. The bucket list. About Schmidt is a sad man driving across the country in an RV. No, it's not a bucket list thing.
It was a bucket
I'm
list
so sick
thing.
Of being wrong.
I don't think
I'm
it was.
I'm so sick of everyone being wrong about everything.
No, you're not wrong. No, About Schmidt.
Is it, no,
first of all, it's a movie.
No, it's the one where Kathy Bates has the nude scene.
Yeah,
that's about Schmidt.
Big ol' hogs. I love Kathy Bates.
I feel like there's a compromise here. Yeah, maybe it came off heated, but I think there's a compromise here. I think there's a way. I think you're right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay,
you should be allowed to get railed.
No, bang this one guy, but then next now I get to do one thing that I've always wanted to do, which is just throw you in front of a train.
Well, I get to finally do what I've always wanted to do, cremate you.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I get to finally get my chance.
It would, yeah.
Okay. This is actually, no. It's not about a bucket list thing. Warren Schmidt, a quiet ex-insurance actuary, is unhappily married to Helen. And
oh, this
brooding,
is about Schmidt.
This is about Schmidt. About Schmidt.
Okay. Yeah, and brooding over the forthcoming wedding of his daughter Jeannie to Randall Herzl when Helen suddenly dies and he finds love letters to her from his best friend, he is inspired to try and stop the wedding. But standing in his way is Randall's feisty mother, and slowly he realizes he must make the most of his remaining life.
You know, that movie got made.
It did.
It was a good movie.
I know it was a good movie, but that's the description is just I don't even know what that description is about.
They used to do things called, like, movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't have, like, they weren't always, like, a Superman movie.
When does he turn
into
Aquaman?
I don't know. You know what? And that is the issue, because he really should turn into Batman at some point.
Well, he starts to see that, you know, love is a lie, and so he doesn't want his daughter to fall into the same trap, but then Kathy Bates gets naked in the hot tub, and then he sees, maybe love is real,
See?
And I should find my own path now that my horrible wife is dead.
I
Absolutely.
Agree.
And Kathy Bates showed her huge-ass melons, and they're just perfect there. She's so fun and beautiful. And
she's great.
I mean, that's a great old gal for About Schmidt there.
Truly so.
Truly so indeed. So you're telling me 9 months for Kathy Bates to live. That woman tells you she wants to fuck her ex. We've all seen Misery.
Yeah,
she gets to fuck her ex. So we'll see. Anyway, that was just...
This ex dude is just somewhere just been like, I wish everybody'd leave me
just
alone.
Just leave me alone.
Nobody asked me
nobody
any
cares.
Of this.
No,
I think my penis is mine. I can do it. It does what I need.
I'm not a man.
And
I'm not a piece of meat.
I'm not a gigolo.
If you do have kind of these quarries, inquiries, don't go to the post because every single comment
It's horrible?
Just
yeah, it's bad.
Horrible and not at all helpful.
Yes.
Yeah, he says the one is just the relationship is over and she could die alone in a hospice or with her fuck
that
boy.
Is what well, that's exactly that's what Henry said.
No, honestly, yeah. this may have been. Did you write this?
I did. I actually wrote the article.
Yeah.
To see. Just
dying
to sort
wishes
of see.
Aren't free passes for shit behavior.
Yeah.
Wow. All
that's, right.
It's a lot of angry people on the New York Post.
I guess I'm campaigning for Rick Caruso next year.
Yeah. And, oh, my God. The last one. I think she's disgusting for even saying that
stuff
to you.
See, that's sad. I mean, all right, now I'm feeling bad. Now yeah. I feel I had an emotional reaction, but.
Yeah, you did have a very strong emotional reaction.
I guess it's what it is. I feel like being like, so we've had the secret here this whole time.
I don't
really
think that that's necessarily the case.
It's not a secret.
It is.
It's not really a secret.
I really honestly think that people do just get something in their craw one day.
Totally understand.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're just like, I want to go fuck my ex or whatever. Like, I think they just think of it. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
No, we'll bring in old Johnny Ding Dong.
Oh, well, exactly. I think that is the compromise.
Yeah, that is. I still think the silicone dildo strap on. And because that's the other thing, too. You can also interview him and tell, like, perhaps you can ask him, if you can watch him have sex.
You see, the real key is, right, you know what the important is you can't give a fuck about her, right? So that's where you really, you choke her and you punch her and you really, you fuck the living shit out of her, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, that's what you did? How many times I had her squealing and railing, and I mean, like, sometimes I wonder afterwards, is she dead? And it turns out she had, like, kind of passed out.
Yeah. Well, take notes, I suppose.
Like,
take
notes. Oh, yeah.
Take notes.
That's what it's like.
Either way.
Damn, man.
You know, no matter what, she will be dead very soon.
She might already be dead.
She might be. That was 2 weeks ago from that. So she
it might just be some reporters, just like very deep fantasy.
It could be as well.
Reporters. I'm going to be dying of cancer, and then I get to have sex with my ex boyfriend.
Then finally, I can do it.
Wow.
All right. Not really a crime, but again, another crime of love.
That's true.
Live from your grave.
I've got a sex story.
Sweet.
It's a sexy crime story, but it's not necessarily a sex crime.
Okay. Oh,
however, it is a sexual felony. Anastasia.
I am confused.
Anastasia Kretcher, 19, and Alexander Dillman, 26, were arrested after lifeguards reportedly seeing them have sex in front of families and other beachgoers Monday afternoon in Daytona Beach.
Okay. Oh, Daytona Beach. I didn't know that was illegal in Daytona Beach.
Is this the Ferris wheel couple?
No, this is not the Ferris wheel. They're just straight up fucking on the sand.
God.
And they didn't put a blanket over themselves or anything.
One lifeguard reported that Kretcher and Dillman had intercourse for approximately 15 minutes near his watchtower.
Wow, that's a lot in the middle of the day on the beach. It's a long time.
You're going to want to let them finish.
Yeah. You don't want to pull them apart. They see you.
Yeah.
The other lifeguard said that he, quote, observed the male erect penis penetrate the female's vagina. That's according to the arrest affidavit.
Oh,
you got to be be very official.
Well, my dad used to joke about how when he used to fill out reports, the goal was that he'd bring out a dictionary and he'd make the words as complicated as possible to make everybody upset because they ended up pulling out a dictionary. So it does seem like a cop is like, yeah, so what? An erect male member.
any word on the inches here on this male penis, this 26-year-old keck?
No word on the inches.
Must have been big enough for the guy to see it from his little tower
from
there.
His from his tower,
tower.
Of course.
It's about seagull size.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think one of the lifeguards said, get out of here, and they got out of there.
Right,
The pair was busted after a sheriff's deputy encountered them at the top of a nearby stairwell in complete nudity. While Kretcher denied having sex on the sand, she reportedly said the pair left the beach to find somewhere more private. So, and they, in other words, she said that they started maybe having some kind of heavy petting on the beach and then went and had sex in a stairwell.
Maybe that's just first base to that woman. Maybe that's first base. In her mind, full fucking, full outdoor public fucking. That's first base.
Yeah.
Third base is like, they got a pelican in there. They got a fucking
You could have a lot of fun on the beach there. Make another hole and pretend you're having a threesome with the sand. This is how you make a good pearl. I've actually heard sex on the beach from a lady's perspective.
It's horrible.
Is very bad because the sand gets in there.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Evidently, you can't get it out for the life of you.
No, it's horrible. But having sex on the beach is not fun.
Well, I think you got to put the thing. You really got to prep.
Yeah, you got to do a lot. Actually, this is only a misdemeanor. Misdemeanor and indecent exposure. But Dillman was also charged with resisting arrest for allegedly refusing to get in a squad car.
Yeah.
But Kretcher...
You handcuff the penis as well.
I mean, you know, I would click it on the
click it on the cock.
You slap it around.
Yeah, you slap
it around because you got to get it kind of hard.
You got to mace it.
Well, you got to know if it was the penis that they saw at the beach. So you got to get it hard again. Be like, is this what you saw?
Is this what you saw?
No, it's a little bit bigger. Swap it a couple more times. That's about right.
Well, Kretcher, the woman, she's also facing an aggravated battery count for an earlier incident the previous Monday, during which she allegedly struck a female acquaintance with a metal beach umbrella tube.
Wow. I
well, they maybe don't need to go to the beach so much.
I think they need a break from the beach.
Yeah, the sun does do something to you.
Because that day she also acted belligerent and exposed herself to beachgoers all day.
Well, do we know now, is she not, well, maybe she's, well, either way, I think that this is just a fantastic reminder. Get a tent.
Ah, I see exactly what this is. I get it. Yeah. Kretcher was arrested in May following a bloody altercation with a male friend. The victim told cops that his relationship with Kretcher has been of a sexual nature as they film adult videos together.
Okay. We're back to capitalism. Fine. This is really just about OnlyFans. They're making an industry.
Well, you know what? Half of the time, these goddamn people that are walking down the streets, it's called cum walks. And they walk with a bunch of cum on her face.
Oh, yeah.
Cum walks. I haven't heard about this
I'm
at all.
I'm not sure if it's really sexual. I mean, it's definitely sexual.
Yeah, it's sexual.
It doesn't get, I don't, I'm not.
I've seen that.
I don't really get the, you know, like, I don't beat off to it. But yeah, they got a bunch of cum on their face.
Yeah, it's a
thing.
And
then they walk down the streets and then people like look like that stupid gif where it's like, eh?
Yeah, you look up looking cum back.
Well, it is pornography.
No, I went incognito mode.
Yep.
Yes, it's
public sex gets horny in the parking lot.
I've seen
Yes, it's not that difficult. It's a person who walks with a bunch of cum on their face.
This girl went to school.
Yep.
Oh well, that's probably not.
She
good.
Went all the way.
She probably didn't go to school. Yeah.
She may have. Honestly, I've seen. Well, now that I'm talking about it, it seems like I've watched quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I found it to be fascinating.
Well, she is walking down the hallway.
Full of cum, right?
Full of cum, walking down a hotel hallway.
And you see people looking at her?
But that's the thing. She's not running into anybody.
No,
well, they will, though, because they just...
Because they have to sign a release.
No, they just... No. Not that.
Well, it depends on what the... If it's a real studio, you do have to sign a release.
She just walks outside. And you know what? By the time... It's only 2 minutes. By the time she gets outside, it's pretty dry.
Yeah. That's the thing about cum is that it's not that impressive.
No.
Unless you got a big old bucket of it.
I think it's more just like.
And then you're like, whoa, buddy, where you get that? And
I think
like,
it's more
oh,
like the guy is, then he feels like, I got my cum on her.
I think so.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, all right, well.
You can't really tell
everybody else.
If my penis, if my cum was that significantly different, then people could tell.
Yeah.
But well, all cum looks the same. And that should be one of the things that should bring us together.
I don't think all cum is not equal.
Unless you get cancer.
Across, in terms of like different humans, their semen is similar.
I think so. Yeah, I do think so. But they do say if you are ill, it does alter the semen.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Well, great. I had a cold once and it was blue.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Yeah. I think I might have had a popsicle chunk stuck up there or something. I ain't got no.
A bomb pop.
Yeah.
Have a little fun with it.
Yeah.
All right, Marcus.
I do have a fun story about an old lady making friends with her home invader.
Whoa.
U.S. woman, 87, fights off teenage home intruder, then gives him snacks.
Well, this is a sad
friends.
Story. Well, this is kind of a sad story because I think I remember seeing this, and we did choose it for side stories because it was very sad, where it's just that thing where, well, it's kind of nice.
It's nice and sad. Yeah.
Because she realized that he was a hungry, desperate kid, and then he was there, and then he just basically kind of fell apart in front of her, mm-hmm. and then she just ended up switching to mom mode and started taking care of this person.
It's like that funny story that our friend Jermaine Fowler told on Roundtable that one time where a guy tried mugging him, and Jermaine just said no. And then they sat down on the stoop and had a conversation about the guy's life.
It's one of those things.
Yeah,
where I'll always remember the look on the face of one of the guys that mugged me. When I pulled my Discman out, and he was just like, "Where's your iPod?" And I was like, "I don't have an iPod, man. This is all I have. This is this all I have." And he was like, "What am I gonna do with this?" And I was like, "I don't know, man. And so he just gave it back to me, and then he's like, literally, then he sat there, he's like, "So what do you have?" And I was like, "$5." And just gave him $5.
Yep, Henry, that's another sad story there.
Just, you know, it was just real.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm here with you, dog.
The one time I got mugged, the guy was also disappointed because I had like a $40 flip phone and no cash because I was coming home from the bar and I'd spent all my money.
Drinking.
And I didn't have.
On Schlitz.
And he asked me for an iPod like three. He's like, give me your iPod. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't have an iPod.
I don't have an iPod.
Give me your iPod. I was like, I don't have one.
I don't got this, man.
I just don't have any
of it. I went to the gate stop.
It's kind of nice that they thought both of you might actually be successful.
I actually think that it was reverse racism.
Yep, and take that right to Twitter.
Yeah, right to Twitter.
It's just straight up racism, my friend. What?
It's X.
Take it to X. But then most of you aren't on X anymore, so where are you going
to
take it?
I guess I'll have to take it to the New York Post.
Text your fucking friend. Yeah, I was looking through the Daily Star here, because sometimes they have a whole bunch of stuff, but... This is really, I've always loved having sex. This is just a woman who's, this woman just said she loves having sex, so she stopped her career and a business, and now she's fucked.
You're just showing pornography.
Yeah.
Now you're just, you're just literally looking at pornography. Yeah. I just saw a woman's nipples. I'm glad we're here. I was going to do more about the Taylor Shaw business case, but actually we covered this a little bit on Side Stories.
Right.
About the woman who played with her, like she killed a dude on a meth bench and then she tried to flirt with the cops and she killed a bunch of people. And she's like, it was one of those where I didn't recognize her because she looked that much different with makeup on in her mugshot.
Wow.
Because her mugshot's like kind of put together. But it's hard. Jail's hard.
Yeah, jail does that. And especially if you're doing meth in jail, because, you know, drugs are real easy to get a hold of in jail.
Evidently.
I just feel like I wouldn't want to get all hopped up in jail.
No, you would.
I feel like coke in jail would be fine. I feel like I'd like to do coke in jail because that would make jail more interesting.
I'd smoke weed just to go away from
everything. I wouldn't do weed.
No weed? Too paranoid.
No, you got to be up, dude.
Yeah,
you got to be ready to go, boots on at 6 a.m. That's the thing about prison. I used to always think, oh, worst case, I'll go to prison. You don't sleep. They put your ass to work.
Well, also,
you're picking
up
boxes.
Fine.
You're putting. No,
I don't mind working.
It sucks.
Well, yeah, of course it sucks.
Also, by the way, I just read Chris Martin or Chris Watts. I'm sorry, I always get those confused.
Yeah, they're
Chris
very
Martin,
similar.
Chris Watts, extremely similar. There was just an article I was reading because we mentioned him on Side Stories. He's a janitor. Evidently, he's got all these chick pen pals.
Oh yeah,
so he's still dating out there.
I mean, that's all of them. That's a well-known
that's
phenomenon.
A weird
and
thing.
Chris Watts is doing a little bit of light ministry on the side. He found God, and so he's doing a little bit of that. He's a janitor. He's really making it for himself. He's really kind of shining.
He's
really doing well.
This chick who became a porn star. Also, she's taking up boxing.
Yeah, you're just saying. Yeah, you're just talking. That's a fluff piece about a porn.
Well, that's actress. That's an advertisement for a porn actress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it basically is.
Boxing's like a big thing now.
Yeah.
But you know who started that? And I'll say it honestly, straight up, put it into influencer world. I realized Beetlejuice from Howard Stern.
Oh, yeah.
He started the boxing show.
I actually have something. A billionaire. This guy, we've all seen him, right? This guy spends millions of dollars a year trying to be young.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's 45, but he made himself. He spends something like $5 million a year, and now biologically 41.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's like he spends his whole life doing this you spend your whole life looking. It's just there's a parable in there somewhere.
Yes.
Isn't he the guy
just going to die?
Isn't he the guy that gets injected with his own son's blood?
Yes.
Yeah.
But now he is using penis rejuvenation therapy.
Yeah. He's making his penis fluffy.
Brian
nice
Johnson,
and soft.
He takes 111 pills a day. He drinks 3 ounces of alcohol in the morning and then injects himself again with his son's plasma. The American businessman is also now trying to work on his erection longevity. So he posted on X, started first penis rejuvenation therapy, focused shockwave therapy, 6 treatments, 3 times a week, cost $1,000 to $2,000. This man's whole life is miserable.
How old is he?
45.
45? I mean, I'm 40.
Yeah,
and I feel
penis
like
works great.
My penis works more or less the same as it did when I was 20.
I think that
shock
he had a kid
treatment?
Too.
What is this, shock treatment for dick?
I don't want my penis to be the same as it was when I was 14.
Penis rejuvenation therapy. I also think if I was the son, I'd be like, did you just birth me to take all of my... What about the kid? Is this kid like Benjamin Button?
Harvesting.
No, he's harvesting him. Do you know what it is that this is supposed to be for erectile dysfunction. You're supposed to do it because your penis doesn't work. So if your penis is already working and then you do it, I don't need help.
You know what is that his target is?
It doesn't need to be stronger. It's already running my fucking 75% of my fucking life.
He said his target was achieving 3 hours and 30 minutes worth of nighttime erections. So he wants to be hard when he sleeps
for hours.
I don't get it.
I don't want to be hard for 3 hours.
Even
He doesn't eat after 11 a.m. And makes sure to be in bed by 8:30 p.m. And all he eats is super. This guy is going to die of a disease we don't even know exists.
It's called Gaines Wave. It's Gaines Wave is what you do. You get gains on your dick.
Good God almighty.
What does that even mean? How do you build up the muscle tone in your dick?
And I don't even. This man's whole life is fucking miserable. Anyway, just accept death.
Yeah, just accept death.
It's just live your life. Live your life. Yeah, live your life. Because obviously this is fear, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. He's living his life for dying.
No, yeah. He's fucking
gonna be
petrified.
Yeah. It's bad. It's real rough out there.
Yeah, we're doing it.
All right. I think we've done enough.
I think we've done enough.
My God. The Manhattan Project series really took it out of us. We also did an Alien series and a Mothman series. It's been a pretty rough. We've been like going hardcore for months and months now.
I'm really excited because when we're going to take a little break, we're going to come back. We got a fuck ton of stuff we're really excited about in the fall. We got the true crime series that we already have lined up. I'm very, very excited for. We have another big history series. Yeah. We got a cult series. I fucking can't wait.
And the true crime series that we got coming up, there are definitely clues in this episode right here. Far as what that series is going to be about. I can sum it up in a word, or maybe Ben, you'd like to sum it up for me. You said it earlier.
What's that?
You said,
I said the word earlier.
You said the word
pick
earlier.
One of your words.
You said the word at the very beginning of the show. You said it in a very forceful tone.
Pickerton. Was it Pickerton?
No, before that.
No idea what we talked about up top.
No, you said it as a. We also had a whole segment on it on the show.
Cucking.
No. Oh, you got two letters right.
Cock.
No.
See you.
Uh huh.
Come.
Yeah.
It's
there it is, baby.
Yeah, it's come.
Right. I am excited
so
for this one.
So much come in this true crime story.
The research already has been very interesting.
Very interesting indeed.
Right. Well, thank you all so much
and
for listening.
And it's not all bad come either.
Sometimes it's got to be good.
I want to do a little bit of an announcement here. Just so you know, we have added a second night to Murderfist at the Dynasty Typewriter.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be Friday, September 21st. We are adding a show the night before. Come and check it out. I can't fucking wait to do these shows. We just put together a whole set. It's really funny because I haven't done active sketch comedy, like rehearsed sketch comedy, since 2016.
Wow.
And we started going through the set again. And I was like, I was really scared. I was like, this is going to be a lot of rehearsal. It all just fucking comes flooding.
Comes right back.
It's weird how it just comes jumping right back. Everybody just did sketches without scripts.
Wow.
It was weird. It was great, though. I think it'll be a good show. Yeah. I can't wait.
I think it'll be a great show.
We're doing it old school style.
Ooh, are you going to be nudie-tootie? Are you going to get nakey-bakey?
Basically, our goal for the Murderfist 20th anniversary show is imagine you're just coming to see one. We're not doing anything too, like, in memoriam or like remember the
years. You're all dead.
Do the
show.
It's like you're gonna see a show like we used to do back in the day.
I want to see if I don't see your full little butt.
Something like that might happen.
Those old Murderfist shows are still the best comedy shows I've ever seen in my life.
And Marcus and I are the two best merch sellers of all time.
Oh my God. Spent at your 12-hour show, I spent 12 hours selling shirts and drinking. Yeah. And by the end of it, I did not know how to make change.
Yeah, we were just giving shirts away anyway. It did seem as if I didn't end up
giving it for me. This is the Murderfist ethos is to fucking make the comedy and the people and everything together, and man, it was good.
We had a whole keg to ourselves.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, we did.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hey, game.
Magoose Delicious.
Hi, man. How's my face?
Be nice, even if you're 9 months left to live. If you're going to fuck your ex, don't tell. That's the answer. Just don't tell the person you're with.
No,
do
it's
on
worse.
The slide.
It's worse.
No, they're never going to know. And by the time they find out, it'll be at the funeral.
The further you're into dying, the harder it is to put together a cheating liaison.
I didn't mean to reopen this entire thing.
No. But I came in hard. I'm going to say I came in emotional.
Came in real hard, yeah.
But I do think, you know, in the end, if you do got to get that dick, I guess you do.
Yeah.
Powerful message.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.